ജയം വിഷ്ണുപാദ പരമഹംസ പരിവ്രാജകാചാര്യ അഷ്ടോത്തരശത ശ്രീ ശ്രീമാൻ അഭയചരണാരവിന്ദം ഭക്തിവേദാന്ത ഗോസ്വാമി മഹർഷിയിലെ പ്രഭുപാദകി ജയം നിത്യല പ്രവിഷ്ടോം വിഷ്ണുപാദ പരമഹംസ പരിവ്രാജകാചാര്യ അഷ്ടോത്തരശത ശ്രീ ശ്രീമാൻ ഭക്തസിദ്ധാന്ത സരസ്വതി മഹർഷിയിലെ പ്രഭുപാദകി അനന്തകോടി വൈഷ്ണവ വൃന്ദകി നാമാചാര്യ ശ്രീ ഹരിദാസ് ഠാക്കൂർക്ക് പ്രേം സഹോ ശ്രീകൃഷ്ണ ചൈതന്യ പ്രഭു നിത്യാനന്ദ ശ്രീ അദ്വൈത ഗദാധാര ശ്രീവാസാദി ഗൗരഭക്തവൃന്ദക്ക് ശ്രീ ശ്രീ രാധാകൃഷ്ണ ഗോപഗോപിനാഥ ശ്യാമകുണ്ട രാധാകുണ്ട ഗിരി ഗോവർദ്ധാനക്ക് വൃന്ദാവൻ ധാംക്ക് മായപ്പൂർ ധാംക്ക് മധുരപുരി ധാംക്ക് ജഗന്നാഥ്പുരി ധാംക്ക് ദ്വാരകാപുരി ധാംക്ക് ഗംഗമായിക്ക് യമുനമായിക്ക് തുളസിദേവിക്ക് ഭക്തിദേവിക്ക് സമവേദ ഭക്തവൃന്ദക്ക് ഓർ പ്രേമനന്ദി All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Shri Shri Guru and Shri Gauranga. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Namo Vishnupadaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhudale Srimade Bhaktivedanta Swami Dinamine Namaste Saraswati Devim Gauravani Prajarine Narvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya ഓം നമോ ഭഗവതേ വാസുദേവായ ഓം നമോ ഭഗവതേ വാസുദേവായ സംസാരസാഗരേ മഗ്നം ദീനം മാം കരുണാനിധേ കർമ്മഗ്രാഹഗൃഹീതാംഗം മാമുദ്ധര ഭവാർണവാദ് ശ്രീമദ്ഭാഗവതാഖ്യോയം പ്രത്യക്ഷ കൃഷ്ണമേവ ഹി സ്വീകൃതോസി മയാനാഥ മുക്ത്യർത്ഥം ഭവസാഗരേ മനോരഥേ മദീയോയം സഫലാ സർവദാ ത്വയാ നിർവിഘ്നേനൈവ കർത്തവ്യം ദാസോഹം തവ കേശവ ഭവേ യഥാ ഭക്തി പാദയോർസ്തവ ജായതേ തഥാ കുരുഷ്വ ദേവേശ നാഥസ്ത്വം നോ യദ പ്രഭോ നാമ സംകീർത്തനം യസ്യം സർവപാപ പ്രണാശനം പ്രണാമോ ദുഃഖശമനം തം നമാമി ഹരിം പരം ജന്മാദ്യസയതോന്വയാ ഇതരതസ് അർത്ഥേഷ്വഭിജ്ഞസ്വരാൺ തേനേ ബ്രഹ്മഹൃദായ ആദികവയേ മുഹ്യന്തി യത്സൂരയം തേജോ വാരിമൃതം യഥാ വിനിമയോ യത്ര ത്രിസർഗോ മൃഷ ധാംനാ സ്വേന സദാ നിരസ്തകുഹകം സത്യം പരം ധീമഹി പ്രോജ്ജിതകൈതവോത്ര പരമോ നിർമത്സരാണം സദാം വേദ്യം വാസ്തവമത്ര വസ്തു ശിവദം താപത്രയോന്മൂലനം ശ്രീമദ്ഭാഗവതേ മഹാമുനി കൃതേ കിം വാ പരൈരീശ്വര സദ്യോ ഹൃദ്യവരുദ്ധ്യതേത്ര കൃതിഭി ശുശ്രൂഷുഭീ തക്ഷണാ നിഗമകൽപ്പതരോർഗളിതം ഫലം ശുഗമുഖാദമൃതദ്രവ സംയുതം പിബത ഭാഗവതം രസമാലയം മുഹുരഹോ രസികാ ഭുവി ഭാവുകാഹ സച്ചിദാനന്ദരൂപായ വിശ്വോത്പത്യാദിഹേതവേ താപത്രയ വിനാശായ ശ്രീകൃഷ്ണായ വയം നുമാം യം പ്രവ്രജന്തം അനുഭേദമഭേദകൃത്യം ദ്വൈപായനോ വിരഹകാതരമജുഹാവ പുത്രേതി തന്മയദയതരവോഭിനേതു തം സർവഭൂതഹൃദയം മുനിം ആനതോസ്മി യസ്വാനുഭാവമഖിലശ്രുതിസാരമേകം അധ്യാത്മദീപം അതിഥിതീർഷദാം തമോന്ധം സംസാരിണാം കരുണയാഹ പുരാണഗുഹ്യം തം വ്യാസസൂനം ഉപയാമി ഗുരും മുനീനാം നാരായണം നമസ്കൃത്യ നരം ചൈവ നരോത്തമം ദേവീം സരസ്വതീം വ്യാസം തതോ ജയമുദീരയേ കമനീയ കിശോരമുഗ്ധമൂർത്തേ കലവേണുക്കുണിതാദൃദാനനെന്തോ മമ വാചി വിജൃംഭദാം മുരാരേ മധുരിം ന കണികാപി കാപി കാപി നമാം വിഷ്ണുപദായ കൃഷ്ണപ്രസ്ഥായ ഭൂതലേ ശ്രീമതേ ഭക്തിവേദാന്ത സ്വാമിൻ ഇതി നാമിനേ നമസ്തേ സരസ്വതി ദേവീം ഗൗരവാണി പ്രചാരിണേ നിർവിശേഷ ശൂന്യവാദി പാശ്ചാത്യ ദേശധാരിണേ ശ്രീമൽഗുരുചരണാരവിന്ദാഭ്യാം നമ വന്ദേ നന്ദവ്രജസ്ത്രീണം പാദരേണുമഭീഷ്ണശാ യാസം ഹരിഗതോദ്ഗീതം പുനാതി ഭുവനത്രയം ഗോപീചരണാരവിന്ദ പരമാണവേ നമ പീതാംബരം കരവിരാജിതചക്രശംഖം കൗമോദഗീ സരസിജം കരുണാസമുദ്രം രാധാസഹായമതിസുന്ദരമന്ദഹാസം വാതാലയേ ശമനിശം ഹൃദി ഭാവയാമീം കോമളം കൂജയൻ വേണും ശ്യാമളോയം കുമാരക വേദവേദ്യ പരം ബ്രഹ്മ ഭാസദാം പുരതോ മമ മൂകം കരോതി വാചാലം പങ്കം ലംഘയതേ ഗിരിം യത്കൃപാതമഹം വന്ദേ പരമാനന്ദമാധവം ശ്രീകൃഷ്ണായ നമ ശ്രീമതി രാധികായേ നമ സർവത്ര ഗോവിന്ദനാമ സങ്കീർത്തനം ഗോവിന്ദ ഗോവിന്ദ So, we'll continue from where we stopped last Sunday. Any amount of explanation on these verses is not sufficient, because this 12th chapter in the Canto 11 is actually a preparation for the 13th chapter. Because through 12th chapter, Krishna says that Narodhyatimam yogo na sanghyam dharma evacha na swadhyaya tapasthyago ishtapurtam dakshina. That's how Krishna started that chapter. 12th chapter, Krishna started like that. You will see, when you go through this chapter, Krishna has stressed on one important point first about salsangam. And to show how salsangam works is the 13th chapter. That's that relationship between 12th and the 13th. In the 12th chapter, Krishna talks about salsangam. Salsangam is not a very cheap thing. It comes after a very, very long period of time of going through several other activities in this life that we may not recognize it. If you want to understand it, make it a little bit more clearer. When we get our human body first, first time when we come out of the animal's body to the human's body, we are 99% animal and hardly 1% we are human being. How do we know that? That you will know when you come to the further advancement. So it is at that stage that 99% our propensities are animalistic propensities in us. It's only 1% that we are practically human being when we come out of the animal species to the human species. After all, Padmapuranam also says that 8.4 million different species, we have gone through all of them. And we have acquired all the vasanas also from those different bodies. There is no doubt about that. That is why we are all so different in the human body. Otherwise we should have been alike, isn't it? Because at different times we came out of the animal body to the human body, that's why we are so different each other. Now anyway, after coming to the human body, Patanjali says in the Yoga Sutram, in the Ashtanga Yogam, he says there, Prakritya Puranam Cha. Prakritya Puranam means that nature on its own keeps changing us, bringing down our animalistic tendencies. And it keeps coming down on a natural way, which Prakritya Puranam, Prakriti is fulfilling that. Because when we got this human body, we had some qualification, that's why we were given the human body. But after we come to the human body, then the material nature's arrangement is such that it keeps minimizing our animalistic nature and make us more and more human. in due course of time. We are all thinking we are all pure devotees, aren't we, as soon as we came here. But that's not the truth. The truth is this, that 99% animal, 1% human being. And it keeps coming down, and at one point, more or less 50%, it is 50% animal and 50% human being at a certain stage it comes to. That is Prakriti Puranam. Prakriti Puranam is like that. It keeps coming down more or less like 50% animal and 50% we are human being. And it is after that what happens is more interesting. From there, when we keep improving, coming better and better in our understanding of life, a little bit of renunciation in life, a little bit of understanding that there is something beyond this life, these thoughts comes in. It is at say about 40% or something like that. When you start seeing, suddenly if you see a Bhagavad Gita, you will just look at it both sides and then put it back. You will not go further than that. That's where that thing stage happens. You first take the Bhagavad Gita, look at it, and look at the beauty, where it's printed, who wrote it, and some picture you look at in the books there, like that. When it comes to about, say, 32% down further, it's about 25% or 20%, something like that, during that time, you will buy one Bhagavad Gita, and you will take it home and put it in the shelf. That is in that stage. It is at that stage that happens, between 25-30% in that range. And again, when it comes down, getting better, you'll about say 20% or so, you will start worshipping Bhagavad Gita, offering flowers to it, pay your obeisances to Bhagavad Gita, and start thinking there is something in this which I don't understand fully what it is written there, but there is something there. Some recognition will start coming there. It's about that 20%, when you come to that, you start attending this Gita Jayanti and all that. You start going for Gita Jayanti, buying Bhagavad Gita, selling Bhagavad Gita. All these things happen at that stage. So, continuously, it gets better. And it's only about, when it comes to about 10% or something, you feel like going and sitting and listening to something about Bhagavad Gita. That curiosity will come, what is written in this book, to understand that. That inquisitiveness will develop somewhere around 15-20% in that stage. Even then, when we start hearing Bhagavad Gita, or for that matter, Ekadasi Skandam also, when you start hearing all that, at that stage, you will not understand everything correctly. A lot of misunderstanding will be there in the beginning. A lot of misunderstanding. And a lot of questions and doubts about everything. All these things will happen in the, say, when it's about 10-15% stage. It's only after that, Krishna is saying, in salsangam, the will be become effective to that person. When he starts seriously taking it and start analyzing things a little bit more in depth. So, when Krishna talks about salsangam, we must remember this, that after going through all these stages, we come to the platform of hearing about Krishna, properly to hear about Krishna, and what Krishna has spoken, and some inside thoughts building up, what's happening this, what Krishna is talking about. These questions will only come at that stage. So, the Marodhedimam Yogo Na Sanghyam Dharma Evacha Na Sodhyayam Tapasa Tyagam Ishtapurtam Na Dakshina. Krishna says, none of these things is as good as Salsangam. Why? Because only in Salsangam, the misunderstanding goes away from inside. There's a lot of misunderstanding in our heads. There's no doubt about that. Because otherwise, if there was no misunderstanding, our activities should actually comply with our understanding from the Shastram, isn't it? Which often doesn't happen. Why? Because there is still not acceptance inside. Inside there is no acceptance, what Krishna has spoken. So therefore, we are still thinking about it. Sometimes people accept this as a scripture, they say. Scripture means something, a law book for us to live on. It is not like that. This is a science of the soul. It's not a law book. It's a story about us, what we are actually. We are spirit soul. It's our history that is spoken in the Bhagavatam. Whatever Krishna has spoken to Uddhava or Krishna has spoken to Arjuna is all about the soul, nothing about the body. So it's not an injunction or scripture in that sense. scripture is not exactly the word referring to Shastram. Shastram is more scientific because it's not presented like an injunction to follow. It's not presented like that. It's presented that this is what you are, and due to ignorance, avidya as they call it, we have fallen into this unfortunate situation. So how to come back from that ignorant state to the state of knowledge, that is what this Bhagavatam is talking about, especially in the 13th chapter. So this 12th chapter, Krishna spoke as an introduction to 13th chapter to tell us that how does Salsangam works. And that is what is in the 13th chapter. But in preparation to that, in the 12th chapter, Krishna gave us a number of examples, isn't it? Sugrivo Hanuman Raksho Gajo Gradhrovanik Pataha Vyadha Kubjaha Praje Gopyo Yajnavatnya Statha Parem Tenadhida Shrutigana Nopasida Mahattamaha Avrada Tapta Tapasaha Salsangan Mam Upahadaha. Krishna is again repeating this about the personalities whom he is referring here. Te nadhida shrutiganaha. They haven't heard anything from the Shastram. They never had any Shastram. No basida mahatamaha. Neither they have engaged in any serious service to any Mahatmas, any great souls. Avradaha. They have not executed any serious austerities either. Taptatapasaha. Is there any penances in their life? No, none. Salsangan mam upagadaha. That only Salsangam has driven them to this state of consciousness where they are at today. So Krishna spoke about all those things in the beginning. We have seen different personalities, Sugriva, Hanuman, then Jambavan, then then Gajendra, then Jadayu, Vanikpada, Dharmavyadha and all that, and Kubja, and gopis eventually, and also we spoke about Yajnapatni, the wives of the Brahmanas. We have seen all how they have progressed in their spiritual path. Now, the only difficulty is with the gopis. When it comes to gopis, we are thinking, what is gopis' relationship with Krishna? It is very much misunderstood, isn't it? By many people are thinking that we are saying that gopis had no knowledge of the Shastram. Tenajida Shuriganaha. Neither they had any association with any great souls, but Krishna out of his compassion for the gopis, attracted them to him first and then left them and went away. And then again came back in sent Uddhava to instruct them in the transcendental knowledge, and you can see how the gopis have reacted to that later in the Bhagavadam. That Ramayana Sartham Madhuram Pranide Shwabhalkina Mayanurakta Chitaha. In the Bhagavadam it says like that. So, the important thing is, the gopis' relationship with Krishna, that relationship is very, very special. Very, very special. Special in the sense, one can only understand that if one understands what is spiritual relationship. That is the most difficult thing to understand. Normally, when we relate with each other in this world, we either relate with in the platform of the body, or we relate with in the platform of the mind, or we relate with in the platform of the intelligence. These are the general ways we relate each other in this world, isn't it? Either in the platform of the body we relate with each other, or in the platform of mind we relate with each other. We say we are like-minded, we say. Or sometimes say, oh, I like him because he's intellectual, I am also intellectual. In that way we relate with people. Or on a bodily level, we identify with the body. I am an Englishman, somebody else is an Englishman, so we are both Englishmen, so we have some relationship. Or I am an Indian, somebody else is an Indian, we have some relationship. In this way, this is all on the bodily level. So bodily level, mental level, intellectual level, you can relate with this world. But relationship with gopis and Krishna, that does not belong to any of these three. It has gone beyond that, and that is why we are finding it difficult to understand that relationship between gopis and Krishna. In order to understand that, all we can do is to give the examples in this world. This relationship, of course, in the Bhagavatam is between gopis and Krishna. It is exactly the same thing that happens between a self-realized soul and a serious student aspiring for spiritual realization. The same relationship will build up there. Between the two. Between the realized soul and the person who is seriously trying to advance on the spiritual path, the same relationship will build up there between them. This is the history. History has shown. That's why Krishna, in order to show it to us, what Krishna has shown with the gopis is one thing. That relationship is in the Srimad Bhagavatam. But similarly, there are other stages. Only then, when you see in life, when you see that relationship between a serious, spiritually seeking personality and a self-realized soul, when that relationship builds up, then you can understand Krishna's relationship with the gopis. Otherwise, it's difficult. Why is it like that? Because in the platform of spirit soul, when they are in the spiritually realized state, a self-realized soul who has no selfish interest anymore, all he is trying to deliver someone who is completely matured and ready to take that message. So when such two people are in that platform, when they meet each other, the relationship's on a completely different platform. It's a completely different platform. Remember last Sunday I mentioned about the teachers, one teacher's case. That teacher, initially it started with his spiritual master, a relationship that started, but when he became completely absorbed in that, he could not withdraw from that at any stage. 24 hours in the night, in the day, this thought is going through the head all the time about his spiritual realization, the connection with the spiritual master. When that becomes so strong, it is very difficult to stop it. It's not a chittavritti then. Chittavritti is something which comes and goes, isn't it? And between two chittavrittis, there's a break there. And Krishna says that's the time one should understand what we are. But here what's happening is a constant flow of thought, constant flow of our consciousness after that person whom we have accepted as our the realized soul, whom he has accepted as his guide and everything in life. If you look into Bhagavatam, you will see in the 13th chapter this comes. You can look at that. Krishna says there two things. What are they? Jagrat, Swapnam, Sushupti. Isn't it? These are the three states all of us are normally. Isn't it? All of us, it's either one of these three. We are, most of us, are in one of these three, isn't it? Right now here is everybody is not in Jagrat. Somebody is in Swapnam, somebody is in Sushupti also. It's possible here. We don't know that. You could be in Sushupti state, but somebody could be half Jagrat, Jagrat Swapnam they call it. So, Jagrat, Swapnam, Sushupti, three states, yeah? So, Krishna is saying there, Jagrat Swapnam Sushupti, Jagrat Swapna Sushuptam Cha Pravrto Gunavrtaya. They are coming from Gunam, three modes of material nature. They are nothing to do with the self, with the soul. It is a product of the material nature. And what do we do, Jiva? Sakshal Vilakshano Jiva. Vilakshano means he has no entanglement with that. Actually, he has no entanglement with the modes of nature. Sakshal Vilakshano Jiva, all he does is Sakshitvena Vinishchidam. He is situated simply as a witness there. That is why they say, in the realized state, these three states don't exist. When somebody is self-realized for him, there is no Jagrat Swapnam Sushupti. Jagrat Swapnam Sushupti is for us. For us, that's the only thing that exists, Jagrat Swapnam Sushupti. For them, these three states don't exist. Jagrat Swapnam Sushupti doesn't exist for a realized soul. So, till realization happens, we are constantly going back and forth in these three states, isn't it? Back and forth through these three states. We come to Jagrat in the morning, then throughout the day we stay probably in the Jagrat state, or sometimes we have Sushupti, we have sometimes, and then a Jagrat again. Anyway, whichever way it is. So, we are controlled by these three states of existence. Jagrat, Swapnam, Sushupti. So, Krishna is saying, Jagrat, Swapnam, Sushupti has nothing to do with the self. This is a very important point in the 13th chapter. Krishna is slowly lifting us above the bodily identity. This is why he is saying these things. That Krishna is saying there, Jagrat, Swapnam, Sushuptanja, Pravurto, Gunavrtaya. They are Gunam. They are coming from the three modes of nature. In other words, once you have transcended the three modes, Jagrat, Swapnam, Sushupti doesn't exist for anybody, for anyone who has gone beyond the three modes of nature. Sakshal Vilakshano Jiva, Sakshityena Vinishchida. He is only a Sakshi after that. is only a sakshi after that. That means that sakshi means a witness, isn't it? He can see while sitting inside the body these three mode, these three states. They are called the state avastha. They call it avasthatrayam. Avasthatrayam means these three states of existence. They are coming and going. They are coming and going, and he is witnessing that inside the realized soul, that this is coming to me and it's coming and going. He's seeing that happening to his own body. He's witnessing that. Sakshal vilachano jiva sakshitvena vinischida. That as a sakshi, he stays there in that state of existence. So, important thing to remember is that these three states of existence, what we have spoken about before, jagrat, sopnam, sushupti, are only in relationship with the intelligence. It is in the intelligence it's working. It works through the intelligence. So intelligence is infected with the three states of existence. And because it is like that, the three states of existence is not the state where you communicate with Krishna. It is not these three states you communicate with Krishna. Communication with Krishna is, because Krishna is always in the realized state, and when, like the gopis' case, when they were released from the three states of existence, jagrat, sapnam, sushupti, that is where you have to notice, nakhalu gopika nandano bhavan akhila dehinam andaral madrak vikhana sartido vishwaguptaye sakhamudeyuan satvadam kule rahasi samvidam prachayodayam rahasi dananam prema vikshanam. All that gopi spoke about Krishna in that state was completely different. They were speaking like the acharyas. Gopis were speaking like acharyas. They were not like the ordinary women who have not studied shastram. They were speaking like acharyas. How? Because these states have slowly pulled away from them. So this is one thing. Secondly, we also know about the three modes of material nature, isn't it? Three modes of material nature. Three states of existence, Krishna says, jagrat, sopnam, sushupti. That means vacant state, dream state, and the deep sleep. Then Krishna says these three are only in the intelligence. It affects only the intelligence. It doesn't touch the soul. Then in the same chapter, if you look at, you will see there, Krishna begins that chapter with another statement, Shri Bhagavan Vacha, 13th chapter. We'll go to 13th chapter later, but they're all back and forth. You have to read through. Sattvam rajastamaiti guna buddherna cha almanaha sattve anyadamau hanyal sattvam sattvena chaivahi. Sattvam rajastamaiti sattugunam rajogunam tamogunam. Idi guna buddher. They also belong to buddhi, intelligence. So, sattugunam, rajogunam, tamogunam, they also belong to buddhi, intelligence. Na almana. Krishna says nothing to do with the soul. Sometimes when we think, oh, I have to come out of the lower modes of nature, isn't it? Krishna says that you should come to the sattugunam, it says. But where is the sattugunam? Sattugunam is not in the soul. Sattugunam is in the intelligence. So, sattvam rajastama iti guna buddher na chalmana. It has nothing to do with the soul. Sattve anyadamau sanyal sattvam sattvena chaivahi. Then Krishna says, sattvan anyadamau hanyal. Through sattugunam you have to destroy all other gunams. You should destroy tamogunam with rajogunam and then come out of rajogunam and tamogunam with sattugunam, and eventually you have to get out of sattugunam also with sattugunam. Sattve anyadamo hanyal sattvam sattvena chaivahi, Krishna is saying. So in other words, the three modes of nature are also on the intelligence. Buddhe na chalmana, not for the soul. Three states of existence are also only for the intelligence, not for the soul. Slowly, Krishna is establishing the truth to us that soul is a powerful, independent thing. He's very independent. He's not controlled by all the other conditioning what we experience in this world. This is all our mind and intelligence has drawn us down into that state. So that is the most important thing to realize here. So when we talked about this particular personality we were discussing last Sunday, So he had come to see his spiritual master, and that attraction was on the platform of the soul. Attraction was on the platform of the soul. The result was that he spent so many months just seeing him and looking at him. That is what is sufficient for him. He'll come and sit there in front of him and completely looking at him in a mood. That spiritual connection with the teacher was so firmly established. Then he started writing poems about his teacher. He wrote 40,000 verses describing him. He couldn't stop writing. This is that flow of the spiritual energy from inside. This is what I am saying. Spiritual life is, there is a spiritual connection between the spiritual master and the disciple in that way. That relationship has to develop somehow or the other inside. And that relationship is what is discussed. That when he comes to that platform, he cannot withdraw himself from that. I mean, even unexpectedly, without any encouragement from anyone, he doesn't write, oh, somebody is telling me to write a poem, what shall I write? No such thinking. It comes naturally, it flows in a natural way from inside. That is proper relationship. So that's why he's talking about that when you see that person, persons like that, in their relationship with their spiritual masters, you can understand that there is a thing called a spiritual relationship on the platform of the soul. So he could write like that, and he was never satisfied. So many things happened in his life, but it didn't bother him, because once one is attracted by that spiritual truth and spiritual realization, automatically all he could do was that he gave up everything and sat there right in front of his teacher, listening to him. And whatever he has spoken, he has accepted it without any further reservations. It's not a very easy state to reach. This is what I'm saying, that maturity from the disciple state is also important. If he has not come to that mature stage, to surrender his false ego somewhere, and the person in him, he is able to put that faith completely in that person, to accept that authority of the person, and then the spiritual connection is established, that will lead into this relationship later. Like the gopis had with Krishna, you can understand at that time when you see in this world, when such a relationship exists between a spiritual master, a realized soul and a disciple. When you see that, you can understand what the relationship between gopis and Krishna was. Otherwise, we will not understand. We will misunderstand everything. We'll think that, oh, Krishna was doing something to gopis and gopis were just knowing. No, it is completely on a spiritual platform. That is the most important thing. How do you know that such a person has that realization? The only can say that is, it is his own state of realizations when you see that person. When he was living in the ashram, completely absorbed in this in his spiritual master's association, when he was living there, another self-realized soul came to that ashram to visit his teacher. So, somebody who are like us, one of us, you can say, like us, somebody went up to him, to this teacher, and told him that so-and-so has come to see your guru, and would you not like to go and see him? He says, so this person's reply you should see. He says, how can I go? He says, some years ago, I saw one son, and by seeing that son, I have gone blind with both my eyes. Now I can't see anybody, anything in this world. To such an extent, the absorption inside of the spiritual master and his words has so deeply gone inside that he couldn't think of anything else in this world. To give a reply like that, to show that the seriousness with which he has taken spiritual life and how he has come to that platform of realization, that he was saying that I can't think of anything else in this world anymore because of that close connection with the teacher. This is what happens when one becomes very serious in spiritual life. The thoughts centered around the soul, the thoughts that is centered around the soul, and that inward looking nature, when that builds up inside, automatically all other things in this world becomes insignificant. So having said that, Krishna says here also that he used to come that when we see about this relationship with Krishna and the gopis also, we have to understand this, that in the intoxication of bhakti, that bhakti that was experienced by him, by the gopis, that bhakti state, because we do not understand that bhakti, we start thinking that the bhakti state is somewhat, our understanding of bhakti is different, isn't it? So Krishna is saying here that Nahalu Gobiga Nandano Bhavan, when the gopis were saying to Krishna that you are not the son of Yashoda Devi, on the other hand, Akhila Dehinam Andaral Madrek, you are actually the soul of everyone. In other words, Krishna has given them this realization that Krishna is the soul of everybody. Andar Atma Drik. Drika means one who is witnessing everything. One who is witnessing everything. So, you can see that gopis, in spite of the fact that they haven't had that association with the great souls, association with the Shastram or any kinds of austerities or penances, Krishna has lifted them through Salsangam to the stage that they have been speaking like the realized souls in the platform of self-realization. They could speak on the platform of self-realization. Just to show that the power of Satsangam, Krishna has quoted these things. That this you will always notice. Only thing is you have to be in the right place and to see those personalities. Only then you will understand. There was one instant when Acharya lived. He lived up to 100 years old. Whenever he was in the ashram, another realized soul, he lived there. So one lady from the town, she will finish her work in the morning and will come and sit there in the morning, right in front of him when he was speaking. He'll come and sit there. She may or may not understand everything what he has said. She may not understand many things, but she will just sit there and continuously looking at him, whatever he has spoken. And this is known as the connection through the Chit Shakti. Chit Shakti start working from inside when the avabhodam or the consciousness starts relating with another person. Their language is not a barrier. Male, female is not a barrier. None of them is a barrier. Nationality is not a barrier. Language is not a barrier. Nothing is a barrier. There is a relationship between the soul, between the individual soul and the teacher. And that relationship you will find there. Once it so happened, this Acharya was bathing. There was a tank called Sarvatirtha tank in Kanchipuram. He was bathing there. At that time, she goes there and stands there and looking at him. He is about 90 years old. He was bathing. So someone who was passing that way says to her that, why do you stand here and look at him like this? When men are bathing like that, is it proper for you to bathe? Look at this like this. She says to him, only after you have told me I understood that he is a man and I am a woman, he says. That was her answer to him. I didn't know that. It was because in the platform of the soul, this bodily identity, when that has gone away from a person, automatically this will happen. That there is no, it is not something happened by force. It has happened in a natural way. The power of the Chit Shakti. When it comes from a realized soul, the influence from that realized soul is such that many, many people in that way, Krishna is saying the impact of that connection, impact of that relationship is such that automatically they get released from the influence of the modes of nature. So this is called the attraction from the Chit Shakti. It is not attraction of the mind. It is not the attraction of the intelligence either. Mind won't be able to understand that. Nor the intelligence will be able to understand that. Neither the mind nor the intelligence. See, the intelligence is only seeing the body. Intelligence is only seeing the body. The mind is also like that. But on a spiritual platform, when that relationship, it is something like the substance inside. If you get caught in the net, of that substance inside, which is for the jnanis and the great realized souls. That's a very powerful thing inside. If you get fallen into that attraction, that the network of that soul inside, of a jnani or a realized soul, then you are lost. Then you won't be able to pull out of it. That is the way it works. That today we go to see someone, we are looking at them through our mind and through intelligence and everything, isn't it? But when you are attracted to that person, the spiritual master, he is not the body, he is also the soul, isn't it? But the soul is illuminating in that person. So when you are caught into the attraction of that person's spiritual strength or spiritual identities, that is what it is called, a spiritual. That's why it's called spiritual. Okay. So, normally this spiritual message is not transmitted. It's not transmitted through mind. This is what we were discussing before. It's not transmitted through mind. It's not transmitted through intelligence. Our nature is to capture everything through mind and intelligence. But it is in another mandalam, another phase it happens. And that is the spiritual plane. It's a peculiar plane. That spiritual plane is a very peculiar plane. It is in the spiritual plane this transmission takes place of the platform's spiritual realizations. It is in the spiritual plane. In the mental plane and intellectual plane, it cannot happen. Mental plane and intellectual plane, it cannot happen. As we study Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam in deeper levels, you will come to understand that this plane does exist, which is beyond the three modes of nature. That is why Krishna is separating it out everything to tell us that mind, intelligence, senses, body, false ego, that is one plane, that's finished. And the three modes of nature and the three states of existence, that is also in one plane. But beyond all these things is the spiritual plane. Spiritual plane is on a higher level than all these things. And there, you don't require any of these things, like the mind, intelligence and things like that. We are always capturing things with mind and intelligence and start scrutinizing them, isn't it? So long as we remain in the platform of the mind, platform of the intelligence, it is difficult to understand what is the platform of the spiritual plane. That is why we find it difficult to understand the relationship with gopis and Krishna. Because of this, that they are on a different plane, they are talking to each other. And because we haven't experienced that so far, due to our own nature of conditioned mind and conditioned intelligence, that we wonder that how come they are acting like that. It all looks unusual to us. When gopis show their loving relationship with Krishna, when Krishna shows his love for the gopis, we completely misunderstand everything because of the influence of the mind and the intelligence. That's why intelligence, mind, they are actually obstacles in spiritual plane. It is so amazing that sometimes a child of 8 or 10 years will capture the message. Whereas a man who is 50, 60 years old, gone to all the universities, degrees and PhDs and everything he has collected, he won't get the message. Why is that? Because for him, his mind and intelligence is the biggest problem. Whereas a little young child, it is completely open. Completely open. So therefore, there is why in Bhagavatam, particularly that Prahlada's story was brought in to show it to us, that how it can work, how it can happen. That it has no effect at all. Material qualifications has no value there. It is actually, many times it's an impediment in spiritual life. Many times it's an impediment in spiritual life. So all these verses Krishna is talking about here, 12 and 13, the verse 12, Dhiya samalmanam adastathedam yatha samadho minayo abdhidoye nadya pravishta ivanamarupem. So all these people, why I was saying all these things was, remember the examples we gave you, Sugrivo, Narksha, Mahabali and Vibhishana and Kubja and also the gopis, yajnavatnis, all of them, tathapare, Krishna mentions that, they all got through satsangam. In this way, they reached the goal. Like the way we discussed. They were not through their shastric knowledge or through their mind or intelligence that they reached the perfection. Rather, purely from the platform of the soul. So, that's why it says here, then it has happened to all of them, to all these people whom we have listed before. Then it is in the technically you could say that it is a unconscious spiritual communion. Unconscious spiritual communion. It's not consciously you are doing that. It happens to you in an unconscious way. That you have gone, met somebody from whom you have accepted the truth, and this truth started working inside. The message has gone in. Till the message gets in, actually all the sadhana and everything is only to prepare for this. After doing a loads of sadhana, so many, many years of chanting and everything, we will realize one day that by my effort alone, I can't do it. It's not going to happen. So that is when it is necessary to come to that, because only then the false ego inside will go. So when the false ego goes there, it is at that point that the that in a normal way, when the communion happens, it is not as powerful as when the way it happens in this unconscious way. Like it has happened with all these personalities. For them, it was a direct flow from inside, from the realized soul, the spiritual knowledge or spiritual realization flowing directly to the disciple in that way. When we say disciple, these personalities who have associated with Krishna, whom Krishna has listed here. So, why Krishna presented them, the only reason for that, as I mentioned so many times before, that they has nothing to their credit. None of them. They had nothing to their credit. If you look examples of Sugriva, what was up to his credit? Actually, Sugriva has created more havoc than anything else. But Ramachandra appreciated that Sugriva was, okay, let him also come out of it. Ramachandra gave that mercy to Sugriva. And same thing with Vibhishana also. Vibhishana surrendered, but that surrender doesn't mean that total acceptance. That is Krishna's mercy to him, to that, make him to surrender. So even surrender happens only by Krishna's mercy, not otherwise. That inside our false ego, what we have created within us, which is very difficult to destroy, it does not go away easily unless the soul shines inside, unless that spiritual relationships build up. So, they also experienced, Krishna says here, that in the next verse if you look, he says, Malkamaramanam jaram asvarupa vidho avidho balaha abalaha brahmamam paramam bravo sangal shala sahasrashaha. Krishna says that many others also, Uddhava, they have also escaped from here. Malkama, Ramanam, Jaram, Asurup, Avido, Abalaha. There are so many, hundreds and thousands, he says. Sangal, Shada, Sahasrasha. They have also escaped from here in this way, by Salsangam. Not through any other process, through Salsangam. They have also, hundreds and thousands, Krishna says. Shada, Sahasrasha. They have, hundreds and thousands have escaped from here through Salsangam, Krishna says here. Therefore, Krishna says to Uddhava, therefore, if you are finding it difficult to understand all the shastram, what I have spoken before, that chodanam pratichodanam. If you look into the 12th chapter, Krishna says here that chodanam pratichodanam, that is the, tasmad Uddhava mulsrajya chodanam pratichodanam. Pravurtamja nivurtamja shrodavyam shrutamevacham. Then, if you are finding difficult to understand everything what I have spoken, remember, Krishna has started speaking from the 7th chapter, isn't it? And when it came to 10th chapter, Krishna has spoken what is known as the tatvam to Uddhava, where he spoke Mayadidyoshavahidam, that verse onwards. And there Krishna mentioned to Uddhava about varnashrama dharmam, about approaching a spiritual master, about qualifications of a disciple, qualifications of a spiritual master, various things he mentioned there. If you remember all that in the 10th chapter. After saying all these things, Uddhava started thinking, practically it's quite a difficult thing at this stage in my life. Uddhava was also as much as, it's almost Krishna is departing from this world,
So Uddhava also has to leave this world. Uddhava knew about it. So he was thinking that practically there is not so much time left in my life to go through this whole process what Krishna has spoken. So it is then that Krishna, seeing Uddhava's face, that the difficulty he was experiencing in accepting that, Krishna could see that in Uddhava and mentions to Uddhava, Uddhava, if it is like that, if you find that all this difficult, Chodanam Pratichodanam, that said, if you find all this difficulty, Krishna says, Tasmat Tam Uddhavol Sridya Chodanam Pratichodanam Pravurtanja Nivurtanja Shrodavyam Shrudamevacha. Pravati, Nivritti, two things, isn't it? Krishna spoke before. What is Pravati and what is Nivritti? And Shrodavim Shrutamevacha. Shrodavim, to be heard, and what is what is to be heard and what has been heard already. So all these things you give it up. After saying all these things, Krishna says to Arjuna, now if you are finding that difficult, you give up all these things. If it is not practical for you. If it is not practical for you. But if you have complete faith in what I have spoken, if you have complete faith and seriousness, Shraddha and faith in what I have spoken, then whatever vidhi and nishedam, that means prescribed duty and forbidden duties, forbidden activities in this world, you can ignore all that, Krishna says, you can ignore all that. Often, this is an important thing. We get stuck in these positions, isn't it? Sometimes you can see people saying that, these are the way we should act in this world. Or we shouldn't commit some offenses to somebody. You must have heard this many, many times, people repeating this. Oh, I committed this offense, I've committed that offense, and therefore I'm getting this reaction, I'm getting that reaction and all that. Actually, we shouldn't go in that route too much. They are morals. They are morals. We are concerned about spiritual life. We are not concerned about morals. Morals is only to tell somebody that based on the society's rules and regulations, the society we live in, the society imposes certain kind of morals on the society so that we can get on in this world. But that is not our goal. In spiritual life, we have come to spiritual life for realizing the truth, what we are, self-realization. So therefore you will see Krishna talks about it very, very powerfully about that. He says to Uddhava also now that if you are finding all that difficult, just ignore it, leave it behind. And concentrate, focus on the important thing. What is that? The self-realization. Later on in the Agadasham, Krishna will say, Kim Bhadram Kim Abhadram Va, what is auspicious and what is inauspicious? They are all under the modes of nature. They are all under the modes of nature. So the intelligence thing is not to get driven by those things too much, more than what is necessary. Offenses will happen, but that's because lack of Krishna consciousness. That's why it's happening. Not that each and every thing what we do in life, am I committing an offense and start thinking about everyone else in this world and start doing things like, it may not be possible to do anything in this world. But if your mind is going after spiritual realization, Krishna's point is, if you are serious about spiritual life, if you are genuinely going after spiritual realization, these things won't happen. This is the point. That we have to accept it. Why? Because Krishna says, because we are lacking in spiritual life, therefore all these things are happening. This is the important thing. If you don't study Bhagavad Gita, if you don't study Ekadasha Skandam, all these things is bound to happen. Then we'll be based on the body, we'll be associating with people. Based on the body, we'll be committing offenses, based each other. And based on the body, we'll be analyzing it. And based on the body, we will be evaluating everything. Everything will happen. Krishna's point is, Kim Bhadram Kim Abhadram Va? What is Bhadram and what is Abhadram in this world? Not to go down into that route. That is not Ekadasha Skandam is telling us. Krishna is telling us, stay in the spiritual platform. That is more important than anything else. So here, exactly the same way, Krishna is saying to Uddhava that Chodanam pratichodanam. That this thinking about this and analyzing it, you have to stop it. It doesn't help. It doesn't help at all, analyzing this and analyzing that. If you try, everyone will start telling you, oh, you are committing an offense, Prabhu, you are committing an offense. Everybody keep telling you, you will start thinking, I am offense personified, am I? You will start thinking like that, is it not? It will not happen. Will it happen or not? It will happen. If 20, 30 people around you keep telling you, you are committing this offense, you are committing that offense, morning and night, if somebody starts repeating this again and again, one day, you will also start thinking, anyway, there is no hope for me, I am full of offenses. If it is, Krishna is not a hopeless state talking to us like that. Krishna says it is not so hopeless, the situation. Krishna is situated inside the heart, telling us that this understanding of what Krishna has spoken in the Bhagavad Gita, Ekadasha Skandam, if this knowledge is understood, Krishna says there is no question of these things of offenses, talking about offenses. It's completely unnecessary. There is no need for that. Krishna is saying. So same thing Krishna is saying here, vidhi and nishedam. These are vidhi nishedam. Some things we should do, something we should not do. Just like if you want to drive in this world, you have to follow the traffic lights, isn't it? Similarly, to maintain this body in this world, you have to follow certain rules. That's all. It's nothing more than that. But beyond than that, in the spiritual world, in the spiritual side of life, all those rules and regulations has to be swept away. They have no value at all. That is Bhagavatam is telling us. Bhagavatam is not talking to us to get messed up with these laws, rules and regulations and get stuck in that. So, so Krishna is even saying to him that tasmatum uddhaval srajya chodanam pratichodanam. Chodanam pratichodanam pravurtanja nivurtanja shrodavyam shrodamevacha. All that I have spoken to you before, just forget it, he says. Before, whatever I have spoken to you, because much more sophisticated rules and regulations Krishna has spoken here than what we think are rules and regulations. What Krishna has spoken about the Varnashrama Dharmam, strictly adhering to that, becoming a proper disciple, going to a proper spiritual master, and the fire that is generated during that interaction between the spiritual master and the disciple. These things, if you read in the Bhagavatam, practically it is not happening now. Isn't it? It's not happening anywhere. So, to such a higher level, rules and regulations Krishna has spoken to Uddhava. And now Krishna is saying to Uddhava, at this stage now, if you find difficult to accept all these things and if you are bewildered about it, just leave them behind. Just leave them behind, he says. And now you will see what Krishna is going to talk to him further about these things. So, that you have to chant so many rounds every day, and you have to follow so many regulative principles. It doesn't mean we have to go out and break all the principles. That's not what Krishna is saying. He's saying that they itself is not the goal. They are not the goal. They are only preparing you for certain higher understanding of the spiritual truth, of the truth what Krishna has spoken in the Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam. That, so Krishna says, whatever you have studied so far, forget it, he says. Then he says, if you want to study something new, also forget that. There's no need to study anything new either. So, in the 15th verse, Mamegameva Sharanam Almanam Sarvadehinam Yahi Sarvalma Bhavena Mayasya Agudo Bhayaha. After saying all these things, Krishna is saying, Mamegameva Sharanam Almanam Sarvadehinam Almanam Sarvadehinam. Accept that I am present in everyone as the soul. That's the first thing. Almanam Sarvadehinam. And then, Mamegameva Sharanam. And take shelter in me. Krishna is saying, take shelter. Yahi sarvatma bhavena mayasya akuto bhayaham. Then, after realizing that, automatically, if you take that shelter, atma bhavena, but not any other way, not the way you like it, he says, but you have to take the shelter sarvatma bhavena, that I am the soul in everyone. With this understanding, if you take the shelter, then what will happen? Krishna says, "Yena brahmiti me mana." Then the mind will not anymore get baffled. Mind will not get anymore perplexed by any of these things. What's happening in this world? So, in one verse, Krishna says that to Uddhava, "Mamekam eva sharanam, almanam sarvadehinam, yahi sarvatma bhavena, yahi sarvatma bhavena." Mayasya hagudo bhaya. And that will relieve you from all kinds of fear. Krishna says all kinds of fear. So in Ekadasha Skandam, when you read Ekadasha Skandam, you will see that Krishna is not interested very much in discussing about the running our day-to-day spiritual life. Our day-to-day spiritual life. We are busy with our day-to-day spiritual life, isn't it? Today I have done my duty or my quota or my commitment I have completed. Tomorrow I'll get up in the morning, I'll do tomorrow's quota. And day after tomorrow I'll get up and do day after tomorrow's quota. In this day after day it's going with quota fulfilling, filling the form and filling the quota. So Krishna is saying this quota filling and all has to stop at some point. At somewhere you have to wake up and start understanding what Krishna is saying. What Krishna is saying here. Because unless we establish ourselves on the platform of the soul, which is the most important thing in the Bhagavadam as well as in the Bhagavad Gita, that this realization won't happen at the time of death. And unless we practice to operate on that level, the knowledge what Krishna has spoken will never manifest. It will remain in the books as a theory. In fact, strictly speaking, when the highly realized souls, totally self-realized souls, even they are frightened of Maya. Totally self-realized souls, they are frightened of Maya. So one of them said, it is a famous statement, he said, after self-realization, he has come to that state, because when one is self-realized, he sees that all his previous life was completely an empty thing. It had no meaning, practically. Why is that? Because he lived in ignorance, isn't it? Just like us. Now we are thinking life is okay because that ignorance is so deep, so there's no confusion inside. But when self-realization happens, he looks back and see the life he lived in ignorant state for so many lifetimes. So he says there to Krishna at that point, he's saying that at this stage now I am thinking, what was I doing all this time in my whole life after life? What have I done? But even then he says that I am frightened of Maya. Why? Because Maya will always find some way to capture him again. That is the fear. Even the self-realized souls can happen, experience that. Even at that state, the fear of Maya still does not go away very easily. So, having said that, Uddhava, he says here, that take shelter of me, who is the soul of everybody, the soul of everyone. That is the most important point Krishna is saying here. I am the Antaryami, living in everyone inside, as the soul of everyone. And if you can accept that statement, Krishna says, that then something can be done. Do you believe that? You can accept and come to terms with it. He says to Uddhava in this way. And you are that substance that is inside everyone, that is the soul. Mind, intelligence, false ego, the material body, none of them have anything to do with you. They are none of your identity. That is eternal, fully conscious, pure, liberated. This is our proper identity. Nitya Shuddha Buddha Mukta Surupam. That's how it is mentioned in the Shastram. That our actual identity is we are eternal. We are pure. We are not this body. We are not the senses. We are not the mind. We are not the intelligence. We are not the false ego. We are not the body. None of this. We are something different than all these things. Shuddham. That's why it's called Shuddham. Buddham. Always conscious. That is our nature, isn't it? Is no time when we are not conscious of ourselves, isn't it? We may not be conscious of anything else. But there is no time. There is one thing that is constantly flowing through Jagrat, Swapnam, Sushupti in all childhood, boyhood, youthhood, old age, till death, all the time, even after death, is I am existing. My existence. That I am consciousness. That consciousness never goes away, which comes from the soul, which is the symptom of the soul. So Krishna is saying here, Shuddha Buddha Swarupam, the always conscious, and by nature, it's always liberated. The soul is always liberated. So, if you accept that, it is this consciousness that is all pervading in other living entities also. Krishna says this understanding will come, agudo bhaya, and you will move on to the platform of fearlessness. Krishna says only then fearlessness will happen. Fearlessness will come from that, when this understanding comes. So Krishna is actually encouraging Uddhava, to accept this understanding of the Bhagavatam, saying here, samshaya shrunu mamegam eva sharanam, saying this, mamegam eva sharanam atmanam sarvadehinam yahi sarvaatma bhavena mayasya agudo bhayaha. That in one verse Krishna says to him, to Uddhava, that forget about everything what has been spoken before, but just if you can take this, mamegam eva sharanam atmanam sarvadehinam, I am who is present in everyone as the soul, if you can take shelter of that, and always look at every living entity, atma bhavena, yahi sarvaatma bhavena, mayasyal hagudo bhaya. That is the way to free oneself from the fear of death, or fear of non-existence, fear of leaving the body. Srimad Bhagavatam begins with the fear of death, isn't it? And Srimad Bhagavatam finishes with the proof that there is no such thing called death. If you have noticed Bhagavatam, if you have read Bhagavatam, you will see there. Bhagavatam begins with the fear of death. Parikshit Maharaj went and sat there saying that I am going to die. And Parikshit Maharaj eventually gets up and says to Sudeva Goswami, there is no such thing called death. So you can see from there that it is only a fear that is imposed upon us because of the bodily identity. And when through the mercy of Sukadeva Goswami, Parikshit Maharaj freed himself and came to the spiritual realized state, he understood that there is no such thing called death. Death is for the body. Death is not for the soul. We have to be frightened about death so long as we are on the bodily identity. Otherwise, there is no need for frightened about death, because death doesn't happen to the soul. It happens to the body, isn't it? So Krishna's point is also that fear which Uddhava had. Uddhava was saying to Krishna that if you go away, what will happen to me? In spite of this long association with Krishna, for so many years, Uddhava's question was, what will happen to me if you go away? Take me also with you. All these questions came up. Krishna is saying, understood that Uddhava's situation. Uddhava has not understood that he says here, mamegam eva sharanam atmanam sarvadehinam. Unless one comes to this platform, Krishna says, you will feel this separation from me. Where is the question of separation? Krishna is present in everyone within the heart. So where is the separation? That is Krishna's question. Same thing Krishna has spoken to the gopis. Same thing Krishna is talking to Uddhava also. Yahi sarva atma bhavena mayasyal agudo bhayaham. So, after saying this, Krishna says, he move on to this state and saying that, Krishna sat silent. Krishna didn't say one word after that, just to see what Uddhava's reaction was to that. So, chapter 10, chapter 11, chapter 12, Krishna spoke. And at this point, Krishna says to Uddhava, whatever I have spoken till now, just forget it if it is causing too much problem for you to understand. And then Krishna says this one particular verse, mamegam eva sharanam atmanam sarvadehinam, see me as the soul of everyone. And yahi sarvaatma bhavena, if Uddhava has to see this, what Krishna has spoken, it can happen in 1 second if Krishna wants it. But deliberately Krishna is holding it back, not giving that realization to Uddhava, because through step by step, Krishna wants to, through Uddhava, gives to this world the science of the soul, understanding. So that's why it said here, yahi sarva atma bhavena mayasya hagudo bhaya. That if you see me as the soul of everyone, then this fear of death will go away from you. That was a statement from Krishna. So, mamegameva sharanam atmanam sarvadehinam yahi sarva atma bhavena mayasya hagudo bhayaham. So, when Uddhava heard this statement from Krishna, Uddhava's response is now, Uddhava says to Krishna that Uddhava is taking as our advocate. He is asking these questions on behalf of us. Because Ekadasha Skandam was not spoken purely for Uddhava. Ekadasha Skandam, as you remember, while Krishna was departing from this world, he thought about this. Is there anything more I have to do in this world? Uddhava asked Krishna to stay back for some more time. Krishna says, no, there is no need for that. But Uddhava asked, if that is the case, how will the people who come in the future will understand the science of the soul? So Krishna says that I'm going to talk to you about that, and through you this message can stay in this world. That is how these instructions have started, isn't it? Agastya Skandam instructions started like that. So Uddhava says to Krishna that if you want, Uddhava says to Krishna that you are saying that you should surrender. Uddhava says to Krishna, you are saying that we should surrender. But in order to surrender, you require that maturity inside, isn't it? You can tell people you surrender. They'll say, yes, yes, I'll surrender. But that's no use, is there? Surrender means proper surrender. In order that to happen, that maturity should be there. Maturity means that he must have convinced himself that the surrender is the only only way I can get out of this material existence once for all. So that requires a different maturity, a proper understanding, and it's not with the mind intelligence, a complete, the false ego must completely go from inside. The false ego has to go. Only then the surrender will happen. Otherwise surrender is not happen. So Uddhava is saying here, as long as our brain is activated in this way, it is not possible. So long as our mind and brain is activated, it's not possible to surrender like that. You will see a lot of people who are very intellectually very active. They find very difficult to surrender. I've given so many examples before. If you remember Tathuraya's story, I don't know whether you remember that, but that when we become too absorbed on the intellectual platform, it becomes very difficult to surrender, because then you have to meet someone who is a little more intelligent than you. Otherwise you won't surrender, because as soon as somebody says something, you will immediately question. The mind will work inside. Intelligence will start functioning. Intelligence will start asking questions there. So it won't surrender. So that becomes very difficult. The whole process of spiritual life is nothing but surrendering the false ego. That's all spiritual life is all about. All other things are in order to get to that stage, to surrender that false ego inside. But false ego won't surrender as long as mind is active, intelligence is active. We can say, oh, I have surrendered, I've taken initiation, I've done this, I've done that. All you can say, that's all just words. That's nothing more than that. So long as the brain is activated, the mind is active, it is impossible completely make that step of surrender. It won't happen. So people misunderstand that I'm doing so much sadhana, I'm independent, I'm living independently, I'm not going to disturb anyone, I'm free, I'm doing what I want. That independence itself is that false ego operating from inside. And this is what this false ego means. False ego, everyone has false ego. False ego, nobody is free from that. The identification with the body, identification with the mind, intelligence, these are all symptoms of false ego. It's from the false ego it's coming from. So, as long as intelligence is very powerful inside, surrender also is difficult. So, till that buddhi or intelligence become matured, and in that situation, intelligence means there will be questions and there will be answers also. He will need questions and answers. So that is why in the next verse, if you look, what Uddhava said to Krishna. 16. Uddhava vajam samshaya shrunado vajam tava yogeshwareshwara nanivartada almasto yena bhramyadi me manaha. Uddhava statement. Samshaya shrunado vajam. That all that you have spoken to me now, I'm getting now questions, he says. So, although I've heard so much from you, but still my doubts have not gone away. Therefore, my mind is very, disturbed. Mind is very disturbed. He says here, samshaya shrunudu vacham tava yogeshwareshwara. Addressing Krishna is Yogeshwareshwara. Yogeshwareshwara means Ishwara of all the Yogeshwaras. There are many Yogeshwaras who are powerful yogis. Even their controller is Krishna. So Krishna's position is like that. Yogeshwareshwara. You can't have any higher position than that. The topmost in that sense. Addressing him like that, Uddhava is saying, I still have doubts what you are saying. So what will Krishna think? Samshaya Shrunudo Vajam Tava Yogeshwareshwara. You are Yogeshwareshwara. You are telling me so many things, but I still have some doubts about what you are telling me. So this is how Uddhava is on our behalf, because we are like that, aren't we? No matter what Bhagavadam says, what Bhagavad Gita says, we'll say, well, we have got questions, we'll say. Then so many questions will come after that. So, but on our behalf, Uddhava is doing this, so that we also understand what these questions and answers mean. What does it actually mean, all these things? So, that saying there, then, the mind is not free from some, nanivartade, he says here. Nanivartade. It's not getting free from doubts still. Yogeshwareshwaram. So, my doubts is not getting cleared up. My mind is very disturbed. Please clear them for me. But, what is interesting here is, if somebody asks you to clarify my doubt, what do you have to do? You have to clarify the doubt, isn't it? That's what you should be doing. But what has Krishna done here? Never bothered about answering the question even. That is spiritual life. That's spiritual life. If somebody asks a question, first of all, asking question itself is a wrong thing. I mentioned this before also. That the nature, that in spiritual world, only who has no insight into spiritual life will ask questions. Please take this very seriously. That only one who has no insight into spiritual life will ask questions. Questions and answers is not the solution. Spiritual life is not to be captured by mind and intelligence. It is a completely different plane. The whole thing is working. Because we don't understand that. Our nature is to accept everything on an intellectual plane and mental plane, that doubts will naturally will come. It's no surprising at all. The doubts are coming. So, naturally, one who has no insight into spiritual life will ask questions. Will ask questions. So, if you look into Upanishads, you will see there's only questions, there's no answers there. Have you noticed that? If you take any of the major 10 Upanishads, leave aside the rest of it, all 10 Upanishads you can take and look at it, there is no answers anywhere. It's all questions only. There's only questions. When Yama and Nachiketas met, Yama Dharmaraja instructs Nachiketas in Kathopanishad. If you look at there is only questions, there is no answers there. When you look into Bhrigu and Varuna in Taittiriyam, you will also see the same thing. Bhrigu is asking questions, Varuna has no answer. Yajnavalkya, no answer. So all over in Upanishads as well as in the Bhagavatam also here, that's exactly what is happening. That Uddhava is asking questions, and instead of answering the question, Krishna has completely moved away from that. Krishna completely ignored Uddhava's question. Totally ignored Uddhava's question. As I said before, reason for that is, question and answer is not the way to realize the truth. If it was possible to realize the truth through question answers, whole world would be Krishna conscious now. By now, everybody would have got the answer, because we got the best facilities, isn't it? Through the internet and through the CDs and the tape, cassettes and all. Everyone could have become, all the answers could have been given to everyone in this world. Because communication, what do they call it, the superhighway, is open to all now. All over the world, we can get the information in a few seconds. And if it is like that, the whole world should be able to self-realize. But it doesn't happen. Why? Because this is like that. That is the confidential nature of the spiritual life. That Krishna is saying, when he asked that question, Krishna's answer, if you look, Shri Bhagavan Uvacha, Sayesha Jivo Vivara Prasuti, Pranena Ghoshena Griham Pravishtam, Manomaya Sushma Ubetya Rubam, Matra Swaro Varna Idistavishtaha. Question is one thing, answer is something totally different. What will you think if somebody answers you like this? You ask a question, you want an answer for the question, isn't it? Krishna says, Sayesha Jivo Vivara Prasudhi. That's how the answer begins. Many, many people who read Srimad Bhagavatam without the assistance of the commentaries, they get baffled by this particular situation in the Bhagavatam. That what is Krishna saying here now? Uddhava asked a question, say that Samshaya Shrunudu Vacham Tava Yogeshwareshwara Na Nivartada Almasto Yena Brahmedi Me Mana. My mind is completely confused, he says here. and my doubts has not gone away. And Krishna is saying, Sai Esha Jivo Vivara Prasudhi, it's a famous verse. And Pranena Ghoshena Griham Pravishtaha Manomayam Sushma Uvetya Rubam Matraswara Ovarna Idis Tavishtaha.
Then Krishna says here that this we can only understand that one person, I mentioned this before, came to see Lord Buddha to ask a question. He came to see Lord Buddha to ask a question. So Buddha told him, stay with me for a couple of years and then I'll give you the answer, he said. So when Buddha was answering this question, there was another person who was standing there. He says to him, look, you can't wait 2 years, because I've also come here in the same way with some doubts. 15 years I'm standing here and that question doesn't exist now for me, he said. So if you want to ask anything now, ask right now. Don't wait for 2 years, he says to the new recruit, the new person who had come. So that is how spiritual life is. Then we come with millions of questions. We want to make sure everything is perfect before we get into spiritual life, isn't it? Before we accept the authority, Krishna's authority. We won't accept Krishna's authority very easily because we have a lot of questions. And that's all coming from this mind and intelligence. So that's why he says here, 10, 15 years I have been waiting here. But now I have no questions to ask. Everything goes away. So if you want to ask, ask right now, he says here. So similarly, I gave examples before also. Another personality came to see his spiritual master. Before he come to see him, he had many, many questions. He was traveling in the train to go and see him. So he was writing down everything very meticulously. He prepared all the questions. When he met the person to whom he was going to ask the questions, all the questions disappeared. And that there was no more questions after that. Then he says there, he wrote about his own realizations later. He says, when I got there, he says, all those questions I meticulously prepared from the train, they just melted away. And like snow before the sun. That's how he puts it. Like snow before the sun, they melted away, all these questions I had before. So, darkness before light. Why? Why is that? How did that happen? As soon as he sees that person, who is a realized soul, automatically the intelligence becomes subdued and it becomes very steady. Disturbances gone inside. As well as the mind and the intelligence, all disturbances goes away. Once the disturbances goes away, then there is no question. Questions are coming because it is disturbed. Intelligence is disturbed, mind is disturbed. That is why questions are coming from inside. Otherwise, these questions have no meaning. If you give, ask one question and somebody gives you an answer, you'll have another 10 questions will come from that. And if you answer the 10, you'll have another 100 to ask. So where is this question answer will end? That's the point. Sa esha jivo vivara prasuti. Krishna says there at that point that once the mind and intelligence become peaceful, once you have peace inside, will anyone ask any question? If you have peace inside, there won't be any questions at all. So therefore, you'll see there that asking questions is important, but at the same time, the sages, the rishis, they have not given any importance to the questions. Because the question and the answer, the question itself is another form of the answer. Another form of the answer. That they know that. The sages know this. When somebody is, where is this knowledge going to come from? It's already there in a person inside. There is no need to clarify. The question is coming. Why? Although the knowledge is inside, it has come out because of the presence of the mind and intelligence. That is why these questions came out. The knowledge what is already inside everyone, because everyone is a soul. Soul means eternal, blissful, full of knowledge. If that's all true, where is the question of doubts coming then? Doubts are coming because of the presence of mind and intelligence. That is where the doubts are coming. Doubts are not coming from the soul. It's coming from the mind and intelligence. This is why in spiritual life, the sages knew this very well. They knew that this person is asking questions. We will leave him. Why? Because his mind and intelligence has not come to any stable state. Therefore, he has questions. Otherwise, he has questions because the answer is already inside him.
what does somebody has to give an answer for that? Question is a reverted form of answer. It's a reverted form of answer. In the question itself, the answer is there. Question itself, the answer is there. Because the question itself is another form of the answer, that therefore they have asked to ask the questions. So, but they won't give the answer. They won't give the answer. The answer is there. They have to find the answer themselves. They have to find the answer themselves. So in the Upanishads, if you look, how it is spoken is, Bhrigu Maharshi, you know who is Bhrigu, don't you? Bhrigu is the father of Mahalakshmi, Lakshmi's father. When Bhrigu Maharshi performed that great experiment with the Trimurtis, which you are familiar with, in the 10th canto that pastime is mentioned. So Bhrigu goes to Varuna, and it is from the Taittiriya Upanishad. If you look there, you will see, Bhrigu goes and asks this question, instruct me about Brahman. About Brahman, what is Brahman? Instruct me about that. Varuna says to Bhrigu, then the only way to know Brahman is by penances, austerities and hortapas. Through tapas, only you can know Brahman, not otherwise, he says. He's telling him to instruct him about Brahman, to talk to him about Brahman, what is the truth. So the answer from Varuna to Bhrigu is, go and find out, perform penances and you will find out. Perform penances and you will find out. So, every time Bhrigu will go back and perform some penances, come back and answer Varuna that I found out that this is not the truth. Varuna will tell again to Bhrigu, go back and perform penances again. All the time this is happening. Till Annamayam, Pranamayam, Manomayam, Vijnanamayam, Anandamayam, and then beyond than that is the position of Brahman. That is the different sheets centered around the soul. So each time Bhrigu experiences different realizations, comes back to Varuna. Varuna says to him, no, that's not that. Says, go back and perform more penances. So every time he sends him back in that way. Because that's the only way you can realize this truth. There is no other way you can get to that stage by instructing somebody or teaching someone or conducting a lecture or a class or a course or anything won't work. You have to perform that penances, what he says here. So, why is it like that? That if you have achieved that state of Brahman realization, then there will be no more questions. This was Varuna's point. You have not reached that state. There will be perfect peace inside, perfect peaceful state will, and complete satisfaction inside. The fact that you haven't been satisfied yet, the questions are coming back. That means you have to go back and do it again. It says, because the difference between materialistic knowledge and spiritual knowledge is this. Spiritual knowledge, once it is realized, then there is no more questions after that. There is no more questions. Complete fulfillment inside. There's no more questions coming from that. If you study physics or chemistry, will you get complete satisfaction? You won't get it, would you? Suppose you got your doctorate in chemistry, still you will see how to get the Nobel Prize after that. After getting the Nobel Prize, you will see how to sell the technology, what I have got it, to make money out of it. And it will go like this, one step to another. Never satisfied inside, isn't it? Never you will be satisfied with any mundane knowledge. It will never answer your questions at the end. The genuine questions what you have will never be answered by the modern science. It is not possible. So that is the question here. Then here, whether you study physics or chemistry, it doesn't matter. It's all the same thing, isn't it? So, but sages have not rejected anything. That's the interesting thing. They have not rejected zoology or botany or biology or chemistry or physics or anything. He says, all right, go and do it till you come to the point, yes, this will not get me there. You have to come to that point to understand. This is where the difficulty is. You see, our mind and our intelligence, when it becomes very powerful, it becomes an obstacle. And then, till you get satisfied, you won't leave it. You won't leave it. So therefore, Varuna says to Bhrigu in the same way, that till you are satisfied, you are not going to give it up. So the best thing to do it, go and do it and see for yourself. What's happening? So conduct your experiments. So sages have never rejected material science. If that is what you need, they are telling us in advance that through that process, you won't get to know the truth and you won't reach that peaceful state either. Peace is not going to happen because of all these things. They warn us in advance. But if we don't want to take it, their request to us is, please carry on with your research or study the subjects, whatever you feel is you want to study, till you come to the point that that's not giving the answer what you're looking for. And how do you know that the answer has come? That the perfect peace will come inside. That is a symptom of a person who has realized the truth, the nature of that Nitya Shuddha Buddha Mukta Swarupam, that he is completely situated in that peaceful state of existence. They never actually criticized any knowledge. And any experiment you want to find out, conduct yourself, you can conduct that, find out yourself. So, but they never gave the answer. They never gave the answer. So, this jiva, living entity, conditioned soul, it has to move from one phase to another phase. These are all different phases of experience, isn't it? And eventually he will find out that thing what I was looking for all along through my research, experiments, everything is right inside me here, sitting there inside. And Krishna is starting talking about that substance in this verse straight away. Do you understand what Krishna is saying? Sa esha jivo vivara prasuti. That jiva is the beginning of all these things. That's where everything has begun. And sometime, somewhere, the jiva has come out through a hole inside. Vivarak prasudi. Prasudi means it gets took birth through a hole inside. What's that hole? Hole is talking about is the soul hole that has come out from the super soul, how the jiva has come out inside. How the jiva has come out. Hridayakasham it's called. Hridayakasham means there's a space inside where the soul is situated and the birth of the soul inside. Krishna is talking about here. That. So, normally, answer to the question is the usual process, isn't it? Answer to the question is the usual process. In the normal world, you have to ask the question and you will be answered. And you will be answered. So, the idea Krishna was trying to say to Uddhava was that question is not going to be answered, but I will be answering the questioner. Who is asking the question? If we understand where the question is coming from, then all other questions are automatically answered. Automatically answered. So that is the important thing. Krishna's reply, you can see that in the 17th and 18th verses. Ya esha jivo vivara prasuti pranena ghoshena griham pravishtaha manomayam sushma upetya rupam matra swarovarna idistavishtaham. Yadha analakhe anila bandhu rushmam belena dharunyadi madhyamana anuprajado havisha samidhyade tadhaivame vektiriyam havani. There is now verse from 17 to 24. These eight verses. They're very important verses. Important in the sense, Krishna is saying here to Uddhava, Uddhava, if you understand this, that how jiva came into existence. How jiva came into existence. When jiva comes to this world, it comes with a big bang. It comes with a big bang. that is why he says here that vivara prasuti, that jiva, which is coming with all these noise that it has created, that the person who is asking this question, Krishna first says, the person who is asking all these questions, he is called a jiva. He is called jiva. Only a jiva will ask questions. Only jiva will ask questions. So, sasayesha jiva vivara prasuti. So, vivara means actually a hole. Vivara means a hole. That vivara prasuti, that he took birth from that hole. From that hole. So, what important thing here is, suppose somebody who says in the vacant state, I have a lot of questions. Will he ask the same question when he is in deep sleep? There he has no questions, is it? all the questions are only in the Jagrat state, isn't it? As soon as you go into deep sleep, where is all the questions? All the questions is gone. When he wakes up in the morning, again the question starts. So Krishna's point is that just look at the Sushupti state and see what's happening. And in Sushupti state, you can't even ask the questions, can you? You can't even ask the questions. In deep sleep state, there will be no questions either. Will anyone have any doubts in the deep sleep? Will anybody get any doubts in the deep sleep? Suppose we are all very familiar about this statement. Newton asked a question when the apple fell, isn't it? Suppose Newton was in deep sleep. Would he have asked that question about the apple's fall? They make a big thing out of this, apple falling, and they're teaching in all the schools, colleges, everything, that the apple fell and Newton asked the question. And so you also have to ask the question in the way. Like this, we keep on making people useless by the saying this. They're telling the ask question. And we also say to them, oh, it's a sign of intelligence if you are asking questions. Krishna is saying you are the biggest idiot if you are asking questions. Completely opposite thing. Because that is why, because when you have no spiritual understanding of the soul and how this mind, intelligence and all are working, then we will keep on asking questions. That's all we will be doing whole life, nothing else, asking questions and getting answers and getting certificates after that. Nothing else will happen. So Krishna's point is that, first thing, do you think that in deep sleep you have any questions? No. You have no questions. So, would he have asked in the deep sleep state, when he was sleeping, if the apple fell, would Newton have asked this question? What he has asked later. So, only when the eyes were open and an apple fell, the question came up. Isn't it? Only when the... Krishna's knowledge is all very subtle. That's the problem for us. Krishna is saying the moment your eyes are open, that means your mind has gone out through the eyes. Through the eyes it has gone out looking for something in this world. And for a mind which has gone through the senses, eyes is only one thing. Eyes, similarly, ears, nose, the touch, tongue, all these five senses of knowledge, what does it do? It takes you out straight away. You can't look inside anything, can you? As soon as any of these senses are started activated, immediately the mind ready to go out, looking for information, looking for knowledge. And we want to understand Krishna also in the same way. That's the problem. But Krishna says, you won't find you anywhere there. I'm sitting inside there. So, therefore the difficulty. So, Krishna's point is that deep sleep, there is no Newton. Newton didn't exist. Newton also didn't exist in the deep sleep. Newton was name given to the body, isn't it? To that body, the name was given as Newton. But once you have left the body and gone to deep sleep state, where is Newton? So all those things what we are falsely identifying actually is all on the vacant state, and the whole modern science is centered around the vacant state. That's the most difficult thing. It's only in the Vedic tradition that these three states are taken seriously. Equal importance is given to all and proved to us that Sushupti state is much more closer to the truth than the vacant state. Imagine that. We are saying, vacant state is we are closer to the truth. Krishna is saying, in vacant state you are in the deepest ignorance. The highest realization is in the deep sleep. The closest to the truth, you are in the deep sleep. Krishna's point is like that. So imagine how difficult it is for us, after going through a system of education, where we have been constantly bombarded with this information collection business in this world, and ultimately trying to find the spiritual truth from all this garbage what you acquired in so many years. Where will we find the truth there? So that is why I'm saying, someone who has not been exposed to it, it's easier for him to capture the truth. Someone who has collected all the degrees and all the qualifications, it's a long haul for him. It's a very, very long haul. Why? Sai Esha Jiva Vivara Prasudi. That when it came up from the hole, the jiva has come out. It has come with this intention only. That it says here that that as soon as the Jiva came out from the hole, then I started thinking about my own existence. I, false ego, has born at that point. Jiva means false ego, isn't it? Jiva means false ego. The false ego's birth awakens at that point when it identifies as separate from the truth. Separate from the truth. In the realized state, we forget, lose this identity as Jiva. And when we come to understand that we are spirit soul, which can be based on Advaitam, Dvaitam, or Vishishtadvaitam, whichever way you take it, they will all accept in one point that Jivatvam is coming from this understanding that we are based something different from the soul. We are something different from the soul. Based on the body and based on the false ego, based on the mind, based on the senses, based on intelligence, all this has an impact on that. That's why it's become a jiva. So Krishna is saying, Sa esha jivo vivara prasuti. That as soon as it has become a jiva, has come out, that so then all the other problems have also begun along with that. How? As soon as the born, what happens is identification as a jiva means I am here. I am limited by time and I am limited by space. For example, sitting here, I am thinking I have to go to London, isn't it? If I have to go to London, I am thinking of London as a separate place from here. So these identities of a time and also a place, all these things has come to me as soon as I became a jiva. A jiva's identity. In the conditioned state, I have to experience these things. As much as time is also a hurdle, isn't it? We discussed about time before. Time is a hurdle in the sense that in the conditioned state, we tend to think about past, present and future. Isn't it? We think about past, present and future. But past, present and future is only in relationship with the body. Once you move away from the bodily level, come to the platform of the soul, where is the past, where is the present, where is the future? Only what exists is the present. Present always exists as it is, present. But past is gone. There is no past for the soul. There is no future for the soul. It's only for the body. All the time and time designations are related with. So space and time and all other identities are born along with the birth of jiva. Jiva is coming in that way. So, all these series of questions, where are they born from? After the birth of I am, isn't it? I am born. That's why my identity has started at that point. So, actually, even this identity itself is not 100% truth, isn't it? In the sense that identity based on false ego is not a truth. It's not a truth. The identity based on the false ego is not a truth, because false ego is our conditioned state. When the conditioning goes away, automatically the soul comes to its pure position. What is Shastram calls as its liberated state, Nitya Shuddha Eternity Buddha Mukta Swarupam, Shuddha Buddha Mukta Swarupam, as it is called, our pure identity manifests in that person automatically. So that is why Krishna says here, where did this personality come? It came from some hole and eventually it goes through the same hole and disappears at the end. Please don't think now in terms of a hole somewhere. That's not what I'm talking about. Because that's how normally we think, isn't it? Our conditioned mind goes in that way. As soon as you talk about hole, Krishna says, Vivara Prasudhi. So there's a hole somewhere. Where is that hole? If I start looking, there's no hole like that. This is the subtle side of spirituality. Spiritually, everything is very subtle. Unless we have that proper way of seeing things, we will misunderstand. That's why I was saying, when we start reading Bhagavad Gita, by the time we are 10-15%, a lot of misunderstanding will be there. You will say something, you will understand something, and you will go and tell somebody something else, and it will end up in something else. There's an interesting story about that. So, once it so happened, that there was a child, and he was, and his father, they were living in an ashram. The whole family was living in an ashram. The father was blind, and the child somehow got sick. Some indigestion problems. some digestion problems. So the blind father asked somebody what happened. He says, the man said that, I think your child has taken, drank too much of milk and must have upset his stomach, he said. So this father has been blind from birth. He hasn't seen anything. He's a blind person. He hasn't seen anything. So he says to him, what is this thing called milk? So he says, so it's white in color. Milk is white in color, he said. You must have drank that too much, he said. So what is white color means, he says, the next question. So he says, well, you know this bird like seagull or something like that, some bird like that, or swan or something, which is white in color. It's like that. So this fellow says, the blind person says to him that, is it like that, is it? Oh, he said it is like one of the seagulls. What does seagull look like, he says. So he says, seagull looks like this, he says. It's like that. So the blind person touches it and looks at it. Oh, he says, the child has eaten this whole thing, he says. So you can see where it has ended up. Originally, it started with the milk. The milk was white in color. And the color of the white color, to explain that, he used the example of the seagull. And because he couldn't understand the seagull, he has to show it to him what the seagull looked like. So because he can't see the seagull, he touched it and found out it has got a shape like this, a crooked shape. And he thought, my child has eaten this thing, that's why he has gone sick. So if you give examples like that, what will happen is, you will understand the example, but you won't understand the Krishna consciousness side of it. The Krishna, what he is talking about, you won't understand. That's the problem. So it's the same thing here, that when Krishna is saying here, that the Esha prasuti means it takes birth, that this jiva takes birth, Krishna says, through a hole. And he comes through that hole. How? Prayena ghoshena guham pravishta. That is the interesting thing. When he comes out from this cave inside the heart, when he comes out, jiva comes out and along with the pranan, along with the mind and all these things together, and manomayam sushma ubhaitya rupam. It says there, isn't it? Manomayam sushma ubhaitya rupam. What does that mean? It means that by now he has got an identity. I am manomayam, sushma ubhaiti rupam. And sushmam, in that subtle level, he will develop a personality inside. He develops a personality inside. Sa esha jivo vivara prasuti pranena ghoshena guham pravishta. So what happens is, when he takes birth in that way, when jiva comes out, automatically there is a ghosha. Ghosha means a big procession of various things joining him at that time. What all? Pranan, mind, senses, they all start accompanying him together. So he comes with a big blast, you know, altogether. He comes out with a big blast. So, this happens every day. That's the most interesting thing. You forget that. When you wake up in the morning and you come out from Sushupti state to the wakened state, this is what's happening every morning, isn't it? In Sushupti, the I, the person, false ego, is not existing. Yes or no? In the Sushupti, in the deep sleep, I, the person, false ego, whom I am whole day wandering around telling, I am this, I am that, and I am black, I am white, I am this, and all kinds of false identity which I am taking throughout the day, in the night, in the deep sleep, whole thing disappears. And in the morning, every single morning, when we wake up, Sayesha Jiva Vivara Prasudi, Jiva wakes up. And when he wakes up, he comes with big blast. With my mind, my duty, my family, my house, my job, my salary, my this, my that. Whole thing starts in the morning when we wake up. At that point. So that's what Krishna is saying here. Manomayam sushma ubhaiti rupam. That at that point, that is his form. What is his form? This form, what he has taken as jiva, associated with all his associates. Like we say, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had so many associates who came. We also, our associates are all these things which comes with us. Then Sushupti, when we come from Sushupti to waken state, we come through the corridor of the dream. If you have to notice that also. Rarely we come from deep sleep to waken state. If we come from deep sleep to awakened state, you are very fortunate. Very fortunate. And this is the reason why in spiritual science, we are told not to sleep too much. This is there is a reason behind everything. Sometimes we devotees say, oh, we shouldn't sleep too much. It's tamogunam, we say. Actually, the reason is something different. Why not to sleep too much? If you sleep too much, what happens is that this experience what you had in Sushupti, you can't remember in Jagrat when you come out. Suppose you woke up from Sushupti to Jagrat straight away. As soon as you are in the Jagrat state, you can immediately remember what you are experiencing in Sushupti. What you are experiencing in Sushupti. And it is a wonderful feeling. If you have experienced that, it's a wonderful feeling that when you wake up from Sushupti to Jagrat state, what the soul experiences and remembers about Sushupti is one of the most highest experience of the soul. And this is why when babies wake up, have you noticed, they look very fresh. Why? They don't go through the dream state. This is the reason behind it. That because they don't go through the dream state, they wake up from deep sleep, they sleep very deeply, and they wake up and they come to the Jagrat state straight away. They have not much of a dream state at that time. In the early days, I'm talking about. As you get older and older, that's the only state that exists for us, this dream state. Throughout the day we are dreaming, in the night also we are dreaming. We have no Jagrat, we are neither Sushupti either. All what we have now is this dream state. And we are caught there. Therefore, it's very difficult in the old age to accept all these things. Why? Because that is gone 60 years, 70 years ago. So now we don't remember that, what that stage was in the baby life. So that's why it is said, Sa esha jivo vivara prasudi. So Krishna's point is, every day you are doing this, but we never gave any attention to that. So one of the things in experiencing this is that when you are waking up from the Sushupti state to Jagrat state, if it happens, normally we come through the corridor of the dream state. We come to, after we wake up, 4 o'clock, say we woke up for another half an hour, we lie down. And then we go into some dreams. We dream about various things in the dream. Sometimes like a king, sometimes like a pauper. All sorts of things we dream. And eventually the clock's alarm goes and you say, oh, I had to get up now, what can I do? Cursing, we get up in the morning. This is how everybody is getting up, isn't it? Anyone gets up happily? Nobody gets up happy. Everyone gets up cursing. Either cursing the job or cursing the deities or cursing the everyone. Because my sleep is disturbed. Who gets up in the morning to attend Mangalarti happily? Nobody. Everybody is cursing. Say, I have to do it. I've been told, I've given a word. The spiritual master also is doing the same thing. He's also finding it difficult to get up. The disciple also finding it difficult. This is the truth. This is what Bhagavatam is saying to us, that Sayasha Jiva Vera Prasudi. But when the wake up call, when Krishna is saying is this, you see, all these things requires time to think through all these things. If you are constantly busy doing day after day, how these things will come? This understanding will come. What Krishna is talking about. That these are not simply spoken words, straight like traffic lights rules. They are not given like that here. It's given to us to think, understand this, that our body, this is the best place to study God. If you want to understand God, this is the best place to study. You don't have to go around looking all the planets and all over the world. Where is God? Where is God? God is there, already there. So to search for that, inquiry has to begin somewhere. And then inquiry and the process is already discussed in the Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita. So Krishna's point is then, Manomayam Sushma Ubaidhi Rupam. He's talking to us, from the deep sleep state, you come out with Manomayam. Manomayam. Already the mind is up. Mind is woken up. First thing wakes up, false ego. I am. That is the false ego. My identity. I woke up in the morning. And then immediately after that, there's not much time left, the mind starts function, isn't it? So Manomayam Sushma Ubaidhi Rupam. That in that Manomayam state, when the mind is absorbed completely, then automatically that we started thinking that different kinds of dreams that is going through our head, we wake up at that point and so we start identification at that point. I am this, I am an engineer, I am a doctor, IT technician or IME, whatever it is, different things, or I am a temple president, or I am a guru, I am a sannyasi. These are all nothing but manomayam. Manomayam sushma vedi rupam. If you look into jiva from the spiritual platform, all these are designations, aren't they? Manomayam sushma vedi rupam. So disciple will wake up thinking, I am a disciple. Guru will wake up saying, I am a guru. That's all the difference is. But both are waking up from the with the same false ego and the mind. It's already operating there. So, matra sarovarna idhisthavishta. That's the next statement. Krishna's statement is that first thing, a form you have taken, an identity you have taken, and you will say, I am this. You're already making that. Already you've taken that position. As soon as you woke up, you've already identified with something. Isn't it? Matra sarovarnam idhisthavishta. That then your identity is already so fixed up. Imagine the conditioning we have to break through. From our spiritual platform, when we fell into this, every morning when we fall into this state of identity, early hours when we wake up in the morning with the identity, false ego and the mind has come into existence, and various identities and associated designations along with that. So, matra swarovarna iti stavishtaham. And little by little, it starts expanding during the day. This false identity we have taken, it starts expanding during the day. That's what happens, isn't it? As soon as you, by 9, 10 o'clock, you are at the office or are doing that, by then you're completely forgotten your spiritual identity. All you know is that what all your different various material identities are very strong at that time within us. Isn't it? A very strong within us. So, Krishna says that, para pasyandi vaikari madhyama. The four things we spoke about before. Though, in that form, the sound comes out from us. These four things. Para pasyandi madhyama vaikari. We spoke about that four things, isn't it? Para is the sound at the bottommost part. That means from the different chakras, what we talk about. The, you know, that the sound originates and it comes through all these different chakras, as the yogis call it. There is very little difference in Ashtanga Yogam and in the what Krishna has spoken here, that Krishna refers to that swaram or matras varnam staro varna iti pravishta. That the way the sound builds up in a person, it starts from in the form of para, pashyandi, madhyama, vaikari. Vaikari is the one when it comes through the lips. When it comes out, it is vaikari. But it begins as para, then in the intermediate stages, it passes through para and pashyandi and madhyama. And that is how it comes through. And as much as it comes out, when it comes to the five panchabhudam is five material elements, when it comes through, and when it comes through the senses. It comes through the senses. That at all times, it is becoming grosser and grosser. If you can understand this, what Krishna is saying, that when it is in the very subtle level, it is called para. As it becomes gross and gross, pashyandi madhyama, by the time it comes through the lips, the sound has become vaikari, which is the most gross form of the sound. Most gross form of the sound. So, matra sarovarna iti stavishta. Krishna says, the sound that has come from inside, that's called matra. Matra means a measurement of that. Swaram varnam. These two things you know what that means, isn't it? Swaram varnam. A-A-E-E-O-O-A-A-O-O-A-M-A. That is swaram. Kakha ganghanga chacha janjana, they are all the varnam. So swaram and varnam, these two forms it takes when the sound on its course of development. When it comes through vaikari in the lips at the end, it has already got that swaram varnam completely embedded in that. Swaram and varnam is completely ingrained in that. Krishna will talk about this in Ekadasha Skandam much later. He will talk about this, how this swaram develops later on, much later. He will say this. So, everything becomes gross and gross. When it comes out. everything becomes subtle and subtle as we go inwards. As we go inwards, we become more and more subtle. It is that subtle we are after. We are not after the gross manifested things. That's not what we are interested. So Krishna gives the example that when the fire, there is a spark of the fire, that just like that spark of the fire, if it gets proper wind, somebody start blowing it, it becomes a big fire, isn't it? Suppose there is so many things and there is a spark inside, say a lot of dry leaves or firewood, and in that there is a spark. With the help of the wind, that spark catches fire and everything starts blowing better. And it catches fire to everything and it becomes a big fire. Similarly, this small thing called jiva, when it has taken birth, it was just a small movement inside in the Sushupti stage, then which was very stable and peaceful and quiet in the Sushupti state. There was a movement there, and there all these things have started. What is that? First thing, the false ego, I am something. And along with that, the mind. Plus, along with the mind, what else has come? Pranan. Pranan is the life air, isn't it? As you know, we have five different kinds of air in the body. Prana, bana, samanan, udanan, vyanan. Okay. Out of these five, two are very important, pranan and apanan. Pranan and apanan takes the soul away from the body. It goes with the body. Samanan, udanan, vyanan leaves, stays back because they control. It is only one air, but because of the places where they operate, they are given these different names. Places where they operate. So what happens is that it happens, the mind takes birth at the same time, first false ego, then the pranan, and then all the senses as well. Everybody has joined him. Who joined whom? Joined whom? Jiva. Yeah. Jiva has taken birth and all these different associates have joined him. So that's why he is now coming out with a big bang, big blast, that I have come and to announce the whole world has to know my arrival. Everybody should know that I have arrived. So that's what that waking up in the morning is all about. When you wake up in the morning, this is what we are doing. Krishna puts it in a very nice way. That he says here, Ganam, in the next verse, if you look, you will see, Evam gadik karma gadir visargo, grano rasodrek sparsha shrutischa, sangalpa vijnanam adhabhimanam, sutram raja sattvatamo vigaraha. Then Krishna says there, Evam gadik karma gadir visargo, grano rasodrek sparsha shrutischa, sangalpa vijnanam adhabhimanam, sutram raja sattvatamo vigaraha. Look at what all we do as soon as we wake up. First thing, evam gadi karma gadir visargam. Karmam begins, isn't it? Karmam begins. That means, this is also interesting. When the child is born, as soon as a child is born, if you observe, you should look at children also sometime, not only look at the old people. Old people have nothing to teach. It's children who can teach us something more. When a baby is born, if you look at the baby, you will see that first thing, over a period of time, in a few weeks, the senses of knowledge comes into action first. Isn't it? Have you noticed that? We are more concerned, the child is not seeing anything. The eyes are open. It's just holes only there. Nothing is working. Nothing is working for the child. We think the first day when the baby is born, he's seeing everything. Doesn't see anything. His eyes are open. He's looking everywhere. If you make noise somewhere there, he'll look there somewhere else. Babies are like that, isn't it? Why is it like that? Because their senses of knowledge has not woken up yet. That's the reason behind it. When the senses of knowledge, which takes a few weeks to get functioning, because they have to come from the mind. They have to come from the mind. They're all inside, packed up. So slowly, it all opens up one after the other. The eyes, the mother starts thinking, oh, if we can recognize the color, so she brings different colors and starts shaking in front of the child. So if the child seeing different colors and start reckoning, mother is happy. Oh, now I can give more toys to the child and keep him quiet. Somehow won't make any problems for me. So that's what mother is thinking. And then if he is not developing this, we get concerned about it, isn't it? Has he got any problem with his eyesight, any defect with the eye? But actually, this is a process that happens. Who is doing all these things from inside? Krishna is doing these things from inside. That he lets them out one after the other. After the birth, after a certain time, first thing happens is the senses of knowledge will start functioning one after the other. Senses of knowledge will start functioning one after the other. That is when, then when he starts, one or two sounds he starts recognizing after that. So when he starts telling daddy, mommy and all that, first it doesn't make any sense to him, daddy, mommy, what daddy, mommy, he doesn't understand anything. He has come out from the hole, that's all he knows. So Sayesha Jiva Vivara Prasuri, and comes out and stays there. And at that point, even, there is no bodily identification yet for the soul. Imagine that. It has come with this, but identification hasn't started. Identification is developing strongly with the release of the senses, mind, intelligence. That is where identification has started. So as you start looking at the baby's body, you will see that one after the other, all the senses of knowledge will first develop. Over a period of certain number of weeks, it varies from person to person. In some cases it can take little longer, some cases it happens much earlier. We say, oh, the child is very advanced, you see how he has developed so early everything. We make our own false judgments on all this. Inside, Krishna is controlling when to release each one of them. He is sitting there and he is doing that work there, but we are judging there, sitting there. Anyway, that's another thing. Our way of doing things are totally different. The way Krishna does is completely different. So first he releases all senses of knowledge. When most of the senses have started functioning, we feel a little satisfaction. Oh, at least he is understanding things. The next thing what he does is he starts rolling, isn't it? Upside down, gets up, walks on the knees and all that. Do we have to teach the child anything? Nothing. Even if you don't help, don't teach, the child will get up and start walking on the knees, will hold on to something, stand up and start walking eventually. Why? By then the senses of action has started functioning. So in a baby's body, if you carefully observe, you will see that senses of knowledge comes out first and then the senses of action starts developing after that. All these things are very clearly, sages knew this very well. Much better than what the modern science can talk about it. They have understood because they have started from the very basics. Sayesha Jiva Vivara Prasuti, that's where their life has begun. When it has come with a big bang, if it has brought all the senses with him, they know it will work at the end. So Krishna is saying here, evam gadi karma gadir visargoho. Karmam will begin after that. By now karmam has started. Why? Senses have started working. Once the senses of knowledge and senses of action has come, karmam has also begun. Up to that point, karmam has not started. So, as soon as we take birth, for some time, we don't have karmam. But after then on, it's only karmam, nothing else. And when we get to this age, karmam only exists, nothing else. Isn't it? So, evam gadir karma gadir visargo, granam, rasam, drik, sparsham, shruti. Understand all that, isn't it? Granam, rasam, drikka, sparsham, shoti means the five senses of knowledge. They work. Then what else we do? Sangalpa vijnana madhabhimana sutram rajasattvatamo vigaraha. That sangalpam starts then. Then the planning starts inside. What I should do, what I shouldn't do. And all kinds of ideas starts coming up from inside. That's what's called sangalpa vigalpam. So sangalpam, Krishna says, sangalpa vijnanam atha abhimanam. Not only that, whenever this sangalpam starts building up, automatically abhimanam, false pride also builds up. I've done that. I can do that. And all kinds of false identities and false understanding of various things develops inside in the form of sangalpam. In other words, all kinds of speculation starts inside and falsely identify with the body, with the mind, and mind has become very active. That is why sangalpam has started. Sangalpam, and Krishna says, sangalpam vijnanam adhabhimanam. And not only that, along with the sangalpam, all kinds of vijnanam he has acquired from this world, that also has an impact on that. Vijnanam adhabhimanam. And sutram, rajasattva tamo vigaraha. But by now, the three modes of material nature has caught him. He cannot escape from that anymore. All the three modes of nature has come into action. Senses of knowledge and senses of action has developed. Mind has started its work of sankalpam vikalpam. Buddhi has gone after the knowledge, and now he is doomed. He is doomed after that. He's just doomed. That is why all this whole life you have to fight to get out of all these things. What has come with that? We'll start next Sunday. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.